If it's a matter of health, it matters. Health Matters with Daniel Martin.
Folks, welcome into Health Matters here on CN893. Great to have your company once again. On today's edition, let's start talking about the C-section, the cesarean section. In particular, here's the thesis question, okay, for today. Is it possible that we're now using it more than we need to? Has it become overused? Okay, we need to understand that the cesarean section in and of itself has a very important role. It is vital for helping ease the delivery when women are dealing with a prolonged labor. And that's why it was developed, and that's why it was devised. But if you look at some of the... let's just be honest. How many of y'all know people that have, like, oh, the couple's like, oh, we chose this day and we booked the elective C-section to happen on that day already because, you know, the day has been proven to be auspicious for us, for example. How many of us have seen that people are utilizing this to make life a bit more convenient as well? I mean, on the one hand, there's a large group of people that still need it for very purely medical reasons. But is there a risk that it's being overused? It's now estimated 40 to 45% of all births are C-sections in Singapore versus what it was in the 90s, where it was 10 to 15%. Well, it's a pleasure to welcome aboard Dr. Harvard Lin. Dr. Lin's a consultant obstetrician, gynecologist, and urogynecologist at the Asian Obstetrics and Gynecology Center, the AOGC. Dr. Lin, pleasure to have you on board. Hello.
Hi, Daniel. Thank you for inviting me.
Let's start with the basics. Like I said, this is still a very important procedure, medical procedure. What was it originally devised for? It's the concept of the prolonged labor. Is that right?
Yep, you're right.
What is that? Explain to us.
So in prolonged labor happens when a patient is in labor and somehow or another, the baby doesn't seem to be able to be delivered naturally. It could be because of the mother's factors. Example, it could be the shape of a pelvis. It could be the problem with the uterus and the uterus ability to contract and deliver the baby. Or it could sometimes be because of baby being too big, that the labor gets obstructed. And as obstetricians, sometimes we can suspect this when the labor stops halfway.
Yeah, exactly. And all these things can be life-threatening to both mommy and baby?
Certain scenarios, yes. For example, the baby can be in distress because of the prolonged labor. Sometimes mommy can be exhausted. Sometimes there could be excessive bleeding or an infection could be setting in where we may have to do the delivery a little bit earlier.
Dr. Lin, I know that it's a very sensitive time at that point when the choice might have to be made to switch to a C-section, for example. And I know that I've spoken to friends and there are mothers that are like, no, 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 let's hold off, let's delay as long as possible because I want to try as much as possible to do a natural birth. Are there risks associated either way? Are there risks associated with trying to go through a prolonged labor and still make it happen? But I think a lot of mothers also worry that there are risks of the C-section as well.
So both procedures do have their benefits and risks. Doing a Caesar definitely sounds like the easy way out, okay? But the Caesar does have its own risk of a surgery, a major surgery, bleeding, infection, and more importantly, the scar that the cesarean causes to the womb will have implications for the next pregnancy. A normal delivery, of course, depending on the situation, usually we won't come to a stage where we don't have time to discuss. Most of the time we do. So, and I try to do this in the outpatient or in the clinic setting where everybody is calm and we can discuss all the possible scenarios.
Yes.
But there are only a few scenarios where we don't have much time. Namely, baby distress, baby's heartbeat suddenly stops beating, mother having an acute medical emergency, for example, acute bleeding, or sometimes she may go into fits. These are some scenarios where we do not have much time, and these are what you watch in your Korean dramas where people are rushing and rushing and rushing. Usually, it doesn't happen. Usually, we do have time to have a discussion and with the parents.
Okay, so good to know that unfortunately the dramatized version that we see, fortunately it is dramatized, it's not always an instant decision that has to be made.
Yep, you're right.
Okay, good to know that. Now I'm curious, when it comes to picking up that point you mentioned earlier on, there are implications for future pregnancies. So it's true, if you have a C-section the first time, that's it. From then on, next pregnancy and the pregnancy after that has to be C-section all the way?
Not necessary. No? So this is what we term trying for a normal delivery after a previous cesarean section. So when we have our first cut in the womb for a cesarean section, it puts the next pregnancy at risk of a condition called uterine rupture. That's the thing that all of us are worried about. It is the process where the mother is usually in labor and the contractions start to come very strongly. And the scar, the place where the previous baby was delivered from, suddenly opens up and ruptures. So you can imagine mother will lose a lot of blood, baby will lose all the nutrients all of a sudden. And these are one of the scenarios where we have to do a Caesar on the spot within 5 minutes.
Really?
So this is one of the risks which I always counsel patients when they are going for a cesarean section.
If you have any questions on the cesarean section, you're welcome to WhatsApp across. I'll open up the WhatsApp hotline now at 963-11938. Doc, let's talk a little bit about the utility of the C-section. It still has a very important role. We've just discussed all the various reasons wherein which it is vital in many ways. And it's wonderful that we have the ability to leverage on this well-used protocol. I mean, how long has the procedure been around? For half a decades, right? Decades has been around.
Like since Caesar's time.
Yeah, is that right? Is that why it's called cesarean section? No, it's not. Huh?
That was what it was written.
Let's talk about then this idea of, do we think that in this day and age, particularly in the high income countries, there is this notion of people choosing it out of convenience and not because of necessity? Is there a risk that there's the overuse of the cesarean section in modern high net worth countries?
So you're right. When you first gave us the data, in Singapore, we are seeing a worrying trend of an increasing number of cesarean sections. Now I think it's around 40%. Mm. When I first started training, it was only about 20%. That was quite some time ago. So the cesarean section does has its role in saving both mother and in babies. And it's a relatively safe procedure. Mm-hmm. Of course, if the mother understands the risk instantaneously and to her next pregnancy. But more and more are we seeing in our practice parents requesting for a Caesar for, as you mentioned earlier on, for an auspicious date and time, purely social. They want to plan, they don't want to come in at 2 a.m. So they come in with makeup, eyelashes all done, and everything done smoothly and planned.
I had one group of friends that they had to schedule it because they say they had to schedule it because mom was living overseas and only in town for this period. So they wanted to make sure that the birth was happening when grandmother was around, for example.
Yeah. So these are some of the reasons.
Functional reasons, practical reasons. Some practical, some impractical.
Yeah. Some are not. But sometimes things like this, we understand. So our role as an obstetrician is to counsel the potential risk to her pregnancy and to what happens in future. Mm. So if she can accept the risk and she understands what she is going to go through, as long as it is safe for both mother and to baby, we will try to facilitate something for the couple. Of course, you don't come asking for a Caesar at 32 weeks. I mean, it's too urgent or things like that.
So you're saying that, yes, I mean, even though we're seeing the spike and the increase of this figure, the medical profession has to react the way the medical profession needs to react, which is by counseling the patient about the risks associated with the surgery and the implications to future pregnancies and future births.
Absolutely.
As long as this is done well, the nature of the procedure is so well established that it is fairly safe to go through an elective C-section?
Yes. You're right. It's fairly safe as long as both mother and partner understands the risk that they're going to go through.
Because I was going to ask whether this idea of the overuse of this, whether it could have potential risks associated. Maybe more people looking to the private sector and birthing suites outside of hospitals and more people doing it that way because it's convenient and I can choose my date, that kind of thing. Is that a risk factor as well, you think?
As long as baby is term, baby is well grown, the risks are relatively low, especially in the local setting in Singapore, where our operating theatre facilities, our hygiene and our aseptic techniques are relatively advanced. Of course, we have patients on the other spectrum where they want everything natural. They want to give birth in the water. They do not want an episiotomy. They do not want epidural. They do not want the placenta to be removed. They do not want the cord to be cut. We have patients on the other spectrum. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we are beginning to
see
more.
But which, as you say, is great?
Definitely a balance is important. As I said initially, we read through some of them. They have 3 to 4 pages of a birth plan for us to read. So we will go through each point very in detail, mm-hmm. and we tell them for each request what are the risks and what they can expect. Sometimes they may not get what they expect, and what are the consequences of certain things. For example, if you cut a cord for too long a time, what can happen? As long as the patient understands, and as long as it is safe, and we know that it's not going to cause a lot of harm to either of mother or baby, mm-hmm. we will facilitate.
I'm curious, the rise in number that we talked about, the up to 40% of all births now are C-sections in nature.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that could also be associated with the fact that we are seeing pregnancies at a later years for women in Singapore after the age of 30, 35, when pregnancies are a little bit older, let's say, does that mean that it would be safer to go the C-section route rather than a natural birth route?
Yes and no. So I think advancing ages of pregnancy is one of the contributing factors. Mm. Firstly, they're not going to have 5, 6 babies. Mm. So they're going to have probably 1 or 2, which make the next pregnancy not so high risk. Mm. Because let's say I'm only going to have 1. And it doesn't matter. I'm not thinking about baby number 2. So it makes the cesarean decision a bit easier. Also, a lot of patients nowadays, as they get older, their risk in the pregnancy also gets higher. For example, there's higher diabetes, there's higher risk of hypertension. So the indication to ensure a safe delivery will point more towards a caesar in certain circumstances.
Dr. Lin, let's end off with a quick point to some of the outcomes of the caesarean section. One of the big issues that I remember, my younger brother was born by caesarean section. I remember my mom had one. This is like 30-something years ago. And it was very different because there were worries and concerns about things, for example, the recovery and the nature of the scar and how it affects. How are we today in terms of the presence of the scar and post-caesarean section recovery? Is it much more different, better?
Typically, a patient who had a caesar would stay in hospital for an additional day. And usually, they will have a little bit more pain from the wound. You can imagine the wound is much bigger compared to the tear in the vagina, which is much shorter. Mm. But of course, in this day and age, with advancement in analgesia, with medication, most of the pain can be quite well controlled. So most patients after caesar, they're actually up and walking the next day. The moment epidural is off, they are actually up and walking. Mm-hmm. The aftercare at home, I would think that both can be managed quite easily. The wound, usually when we review, they don't cause too much complications from a caesar.
And in terms of scar minimization, have techniques become a lot better when it comes to that for the caesarean?
Yeah, definitely. So now we have more advanced medication to reduce adhesions in the abdomen. Mm-hmm. We have different techniques of closing the uterus to reduce this risk. We have different medication to reduce even the scar on the skin. And newer techniques allow us to put the scar even lower so that it's not so obvious when the patient wears the bikini. Mm.
Final point before I let you go. Let's say somebody has chosen to go for an elective caesarean procedure. Everything's good. We're settled. We're there. What could happen on the day itself that would change or preclude that person from being able to go through with the elective C-section?
Okay, so that depends a lot on the indication. So if the patient is as I mentioned, an auspicious date for a seizure.
Mm.
When she comes in with a flu, a cold, or a fever, then we may want to say, oh, maybe it's not so safe to do a seizure because the risk-benefit ratio changes. Mm. If the same patient actually comes in with massive bleeding for an emergency, then we won't stop doing a seizure because the benefits and risk again changes. It favors a seizure. So the other thing that sometimes we may change our mind is when a patient, some patients when they are breech, you know, breech when baby's backside is downwards,
yes,
they require caesarean section. Sometimes when they come in, I usually do a scan before the seizure because sometimes miracles happen. And I have a few patients whom the baby has turned
really
to face the head down instead. Just so these are some of the instances where we tell the patient, maybe we may not want to do a seizure because your baby have turned or some things have changed.
This is fascinating. Dr. Lin, a pleasure. Thank you so much for helping us understand this procedure so much better.
Thank you, Daniel. Thank you.
He's Dr. Harvard Lin, consultant obstetrician, gynecologist, and urogynecologist at the Asian Obstetrics and Gynecology Center, AOGC. I'm Daniel Martin, and this has been Health Matters.